As I lay there, eyes closed, face stiff with dirt, mouth hanging open, Uncle took his pipe in his hand and leant forward on his straw bale. "You're about beat, young man," he said, with deep satisfaction. "Well, I've never seen Mr. Broomfield beat, but he's had a lot of experience, and what's more, he's strong, really strong. That's one man you couldn't tire." Rage flooded through me like a draught of strong spirit. The right thing to do, of course, would be to get up, tip the bucket of bloody water over Uncle's head, run down the hill, and drive away. Away from Yorkshire, from Uncle, from the Dinsdales, from this cow. Instead, I clenched my teeth, braced my legs, and pushed with everything I had. And with a sensation of disbelief, I felt my noose slide over the sharp little incisor teeth and into the calf's mouth. Gingerly muttering a prayer, I pulled on the thin rope with my left hand and felt the slipknot tighten. I had hold of that lower jaw. At last, I could start doing something. "Now hold this rope, Mr. Dinsdale, and just keep a gentle tension on it. I'm going to repel the calf, and if you pull steadily at the same time, the head ought to come round."
"What if the rope comes off?"
asked Uncle, hopefully. I didn't answer. I put my hand in against the calf's shoulder and began to push against the cow's contractions. I felt the small body moving away from me. "Now, a steady pull, Mr. Dinsdale, without jerking." And to myself, "Oh God, don't let it slip off." The head was coming round. I could feel the neck straightening against my arm, then the ear touched my elbow. I let go the shoulder and grabbed the little muzzle. Keeping the teeth away from the vaginal wall with my hand, I guided the head till it was resting where it should be on the forelimbs. Quickly I extended the noose till it reached behind the ears. "Now, pull on the head as she strains."
"Nay, you should pull on the legs now," cried Uncle. "Pull on the bloody head rope, I tell you!"
I bellowed at the top of my voice, and felt immediately better as Uncle retired, offended, to his bale. With traction, the head was brought out and the rest of the body followed easily. The little animal lay motionless on the cobbles, eyes glassy and unseeing, tongue blue and grossly swollen.
"It'll be dead, bound to be,"
grunted Uncle, returning to the attack. I cleared the mucus from the mouth, blew hard down the throat, and began artificial respiration. After a few pressures on the ribs, the calf gave a little gasp and the eyelids flickered. Then it started to inhale and one leg jerked. Uncle took off his hat and scratched his head in disbelief.
"By gore, it's alive! I'd have thought it'd sure be dead after you'd messed about all that time."
A lot of the fire had gone out of him, and his pipe hung down empty from his lips. "I know what this little fellow wants," I said. I grasped the calf by its forelegs and pulled it up to its mother's head. The cow was stretched out on her side, her head extended wearily along the rough floor. Her ribs heaved, her eyes were almost closed. She looked past caring about anything. Then she felt the calf's body against her face, and there was a transformation. Her eyes opened wide and her muzzle began a snuffling exploration of the new object. Her interest grew with every sniff and she struggled onto her chest, nosing and probing all over the calf, rumbling deep in her chest. Then she began to lick him methodically. Nature provides the perfect stimulant massage for a time like this, and the little creature arched his back as the coarse papillae on the tongue dragged along his skin. Within a minute he was shaking his head and trying to sit up. I grinned. This was the bit I liked. The little miracle. I felt it was something that would never grow stale, no matter how often I saw it. I cleaned as much of the dried blood and filth from my body as I could, but most of it had caked on my skin, and not even my fingernails would move it. It would have to wait for the hot bath at home. Pulling my shirt over my head, I felt as though I had been beaten for a long time with a thick stick. Every muscle ached. My mouth was dried out, my lips almost sticking together. A long, sad figure hovered near.
"How about a drink?"
asked Mr. Dinsdale. I could feel my grimy face cracking into an incredulous smile. A vision of hot tea well laced with whiskey swam before me.
"Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Dinsdale. I'd love a drink. It's been a hard 2 hours."
"Nay," said Mr. Dinsdale, looking at me steadily. "I meant for the cow."
I began to babble.
"Oh, yes, of course, certainly, by all means. Yes, give her a drink.
She must be very thirsty. It'll do her good.
Certainly, certainly. Yeah, give her a drink.
I gathered up my tackle and stumbled out of the barn. On the moor it was still dark, and a bitter wind whipped over the snow, stinging my eyes. As I plodded down the slope, Uncle's voice, strident and undefeated, reached me for the last time.
"Mr. Broomfield doesn't believe in giving a drink after carving. Says it chills the stomach."